right on time with the clock. Hey, for a Monday, I'm feeling pretty good. You know, we're counting it down. A couple of weeks till the election. A couple of months till the inauguration. I mean, we're in the home stretch here. And birds, you know, we are devoting so much of our thoughts to you. Winter's coming. We're going to talk about how you all keep warm with the feathers. Yeah. You know, fella, it's going to come on and talk about that. So, all right. All we're going to do is hang on there. So, if that doesn't work, we'll get you some stuff on eBay.
We come on this loop, John B. My grandfather and me. Around Nassau town we did roam. Drinking all night. Got into a fight. Well, I feel so broke.
Sloop John B. And it is Monday. It's 4 after the hour. It's Pandemic Pirate Radio from Chicago. Gary Lee Wright and another dip into the world of birds today. We're going to get into that. I'm liking this quite a bit. We need something. Need something besides the news. We have a little Beach Boys. We'll talk about that. Beach Boys co-founders Brian Wilson and Al Jardine want fans to know they're not part of a fundraising effort for President Donald Trump, featuring the current incarnation of the band. We'll talk about that. The new Beach Boys, not the original Beach Boys, played a Trump thing yesterday. So it just goes on and on. Anyway. We'll play some Beach Boys. Mike Love is the bad guy. He's the Trumpsy guy. So maybe we can edit Mike Love out if we can do that. So anyway, that's popping up. The voter registration ends, and early voting begins in many states this week. We can do nothing else this week, but let's remind each other to get it done. If you haven't registered, please do it. If you've registered, then make a plan to vote. If you're doing that mail-in ballot thing, make sure that happens in a timely fashion. We'll remind you about that. Speaking of the election, Nancy Pelosi has set a 48-hour deadline for getting a stimulus deal done before the election. That's tomorrow. She set it for tomorrow, and the White House, we'll see if they're going to do it or not. Wildfires tore through Colorado, forcing thousands of people to evacuate. One of the blazes, the Cameron Peak Fire, is the largest recorded in the state ever. Here's some good news about a bad guy, you know, the one with the orange hair. A federal judge struck down Trump's plan to cut food stamps for 700,000 unemployed Americans. They're hungry and they're out of work, but no, we can't withhold the food stamps from them. Federal judge making that decision over the weekend. So, and did I mention that we have a World Series? The LA Dodgers are set to meet Tampa Bay in the World Series. I missed this whole season. I am so sorry. We'll just have to catch up next time. And a word in here about Trump. So I'm looking at the Atlantic Monthly. Why people who hate Trump stick with him. So, well, it is a slippery slope, but, you know, they're going to do their best. My point is that we're not done yet. We've got to vote. We've got to register. We've got to do what we got to do, what we got to do. All right. So, let's put that in our pipe there. So here's the deal on the Beach Boys. And I have something that I think you'll enjoy. Good news from China. Not much from here, but there's good news from China. Anyway, Beach Boys co-founders Brian Wilson and Al Jardine want fans to know that they're not part of a fundraising effort. We have absolutely nothing to do with the Trump benefit today in Newport Beach. Zero. Spokesperson for the duo told Variety. We didn't know. This is alarming. We didn't even know about it until we were reading about it in the Los Angeles Times. The Beach Boys performed Sunday at a Trump fundraiser in Newport Beach. The new, not the original Beach Boys, the current Beach Boys. The you know, tickets, get this. They don't have money in the Republican era. Tickets up to $150,000 a couple. Mm-hmm. Now, again, that is the current touring group led by Mike Love. The band's other surviving co-founder, who's often at loggerheads with his old bandmates. He's a Trump supporter. Earlier this year, Wilson and Jardine slammed Love's version of the band for performing at a trophy hunting convention. I'm not even sure what that is, and I don't want to know. The Beach Boys, founded in 1961 by Wilson and Jardine, Love, and Wilson's two brothers, Dennis and Carl, they passed away in 1983 and 1998. The five co-founders inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1988. So that's the deal. They are not, the current ones are not affiliated with everybody, and you just have to make your own decision on that. All right, now here's a good piece of news here. It's 10 after the hour. I saw this and I just thought I would bring it on here if I can get my hands on on the right piece of wow. No kidding, really? I can't find it. Here it is. All right. Okay, all right. Hey, it's just me. Dayline Beijing, you know, the good news here is that the Chinese are coming out of the coronavirus era here. Most of the world still struggling with the coronavirus pandemic. China showing once again that a fast economic rebound is possible when the virus is brought firmly under control. So here's the deal. Step one, the coronavirus is under control in China. The economy surged 4.9% in the July to September quarter. And the country's National Bureau of Statistics announcing last week the robust performance, I should say announcing today, the robust performance brings China almost back up to the roughly 6% pace of growth that was reporting before the pandemic. So what happened was that they got it under control and we did not. And if you can get it under control, then you can get your economy rolling again, according to the Chinese here. Chinese companies are making up a greater share of the world's exports. They are manufacturing consumer electronics, personal protection equipment. China now buying more iron ore from Brazil, more corn and pork from the United States, more palm oil from Malaysia. That has partly reversed its nosedive in commodity prices. It's done not so much to help the rest of the world because its imports have not increased as nearly as much as its exports. So anyway, that's the deal. If we had only got it under control. We haven't yet, but we will hopefully do that soon. We will. Speaking of soon, the election is 2 weeks from tomorrow. If you haven't registered, you may be running out of time. Let's make sure you check your thing here, and we'll talk about voting. And at the sometime before I get out of here, I'm gonna make some wild and possibly unsubstantiated, but we'll see if they come true or not. I'm gonna predict the end of the Trump thing. I'm gonna predict the Trump era's demise and end, and we'll talk about that. All right, and while we are doing that, these people are not affiliated with the Republican Party.
I love the colorful clothes she wears and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair. I hear the sound of a gentle wind on the wind that lifts her perfume through the air.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations.
Somehow closer now. Softly smile, I know she must be kind. In her eyes, she goes with me to a blossom room.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me excitations.
Beach Boys. You know, when that record was made, that was the most expensive rock roll record ever produced. I don't remember what the budget was, but lots of dough to record Good Vibrations. Way back when. It's a quarter past the hour. It's the Pandemic Pirate Radio Show from Chicago at bleat.network. And it is kind of calendar Monday here. We have just 2 weeks. I know. Just 2 weeks from tomorrow is the election. The inauguration, I wrote this down. I want to get this in my head, is the 20th of January. So let's see here. October, November, December. I think that's 3 weeks from, I'm sorry, 3 months from tomorrow. Is that right? I think it is. And then in an odd coincidence, this is the sixth month anniversary of the radio show this week. What that means, well, I don't know. We hung in here for 6 months. Thanks to people tuning in and some of the wonderful guests that we've had. And with any luck, maybe we'll have a revisitor or two from some of the folks that have been on the show since we started a short 6 months ago. We started on 420 for no apparent reason, but I can remember that. Anyway, and it's been like a decade since we've been on the air here. So, all right. Tell you what, let me make sure that I let everybody know that we have a toll-free number, 844-220-3300. And please tell me you voted. Tell you what, if you've never called a radio station or anything like that, leave me a voicemail. Hi, it's me. I voted. Hello to Aunt Bertha, and I'll play the whole thing. All right, 844-220-3300 as we get things cooking. All right, should we just do something completely different from the election? Let's do it. We're gonna do more bird nerdism here. Bird nerdism, we are. It's ready. Here's Angus Stone.
So kind is yes, have the change. Tower man, turn and whisper, needs things. He said we don't sleep, step in the dream. Shot my baby with an arrow in the rain. Wounded, cut, bent and scarred.
Like the bird on the bus, oh, oh.
We are outdoors. We are. Angus Stone, Bird on the Buffalo. 21 after the hour, it's the Pandemic Pirate Radio Show from Chicago, from Bleat.network. And it's Bird Month for no apparent reason. We thought we'd do something, and the more we do, the more interested I am, and I'm learning as we go here. I've been very anxious to meet the fellow that is behind this odd attempt at... No, that's a bird? It is not. No, that's a human being. That is a human being. And that person is our guest this morning, Dr. Sahas Barvi. Dr. Barvi, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Hey, that was great, the way you just did. That's the acorn woodpecker. You don't have a nightclub act, do you?
Sorry?
You don't have a nightclub act with all those things.
No, I do not, unfortunately. Maybe I should.
No, it sounds good to me. So you are I could start reading your stuff here. You're an avian evolutionary ecologist. I kind of know what that is. You study how birds keep warm, mm-hmm. and stuff like that there. How long have you been a bird nerd? Your whole life?
I've been a bird nerd, officially a bird nerd, since 2007 when I started my master's and started studying birds. But I've been interested in birds for a long time. So I've been looking at birds since I was in eighth grade, which is a very long time ago, let's say.
And you're over at the Smithsonian, right?
Yes, I'm at the Smithsonian National Museum of Natural History.
I don't remember ever interviewing anybody from the Smithsonian. I've been there many times. I know there was a guy named James Smithson who never made it to the United States, and he gave us a lot of money. That's all I know about the Smithsonian.
He did, yeah. Thanks to Alexander von Humboldt. Here I am, 150 years later.
It's nice to know the birds are getting some of that money. Mm-hmm. So what is the what's the challenge with keeping? We talked a little bit about bird conservation last week on the show. What are the challenges for you? What are you trying to figure out now?
So I'm really interested in what is called bird thermal physiology. Birds are incredible because they can survive really, really cold temperatures while trying to keep really warm. So if you live, for example, in Churchill, Manitoba, there is a 10-gram bird called the boreal chickadee that lives there all year round, and it survives those like negative 10, negative 20 degrees Celsius, degree Fahrenheit days. Mm-hmm. And it has to keep its heart at close to 40 degrees Celsius that whole time. So they do these amazing like feats of physiology that very few vertebrates do. And I'm really interested in understanding how birds do that, especially on cold mountaintops. So that's my research at the Smithsonian.
And do you spend some time out on those cold mountaintops yourself?
Yes. So for my PhD, I studied how birds actually survive in the hypoxia, which is the lower partial pressure of oxygen with an increase in elevation. So I studied how birds regulate their hemoglobin concentrations with elevation in the Himalayas.
Himalayas.
So okay. The word is Himalaya, which means the abode of snow and ice in Sanskrit.
Okay. And let's hit that word again. Hypoxia. HYPOXIA.
Hypoxia. That's right.
Lack of oxygen.
Lack of oxygen. Yeah. It's just the scientific way of saying you reduce the reduction in partial pressure of oxygen when you go up in elevation. That's why you get out of breath when you're walking at high elevation.
So when you were up doing your mountaintop thing, did you have an oxygen tank as if you were a mountain climber?
No, I didn't get that high. And birds generally don't live at elevations where you require oxygen. But there is some bit of acclimatization that humans have to do. So once you live there for several weeks, you're fine.
Yeah. But until then, you're chilly.
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Dr. Barvi, I was reading something the other day that I didn't know I'd have a chance to actually ask somebody about. And it had to do with evolution and the dinosaurs and If I got this right, it was there was sort of a line of birds that at one point had teeth. They were,
yes.
They were. Is that true? What about that? That's right up your alley, right?
Yeah, several lineages of like dinosaurs, which are had feathers, and many of those had teeth. Yeah. And as you know, there was a big extinction, mass extinction event at called the Cretaceous-Triassic boundary, where a big asteroid hit the Yucatan Peninsula, and that led to the extinction of all dinosaurs.
Right.
And it seems like all those toothed birds went extinct in that time. And so the only birds that survived that big mega extinction were birds that didn't have teeth.
Hmm. I don't know why this blows me away. I've been studying birds for 6 months exactly, is all. We have birds outside the studio here, and every morning I just open the window up and throw the microphone out, and yeah, we listen to them. They've become a real part of the they become a part of the thing here. I wanted to ask about bird behavior,
mm-hmm.
and there are thousands and thousands of species, but
mm-hmm.
not all birds get along with birds the way humans don't get along with other humans.
Right.
What about that?
So yes, there is competition in birds, very strong interspecific competition, and birds are, you know, the closer the two species are, the more similar they are, and they probably compete more.
Mm-hmm.
Birds compete for food. Probably if you've seen feeders, you've probably seen a larger bird come and displace a smaller bird from the feeder. Birds also compete for nesting places. So if you put out nest boxes, that you might get a chickadee nesting in it, and then a house wren might come and destroy the chickadee nest and build a nest of its own there. And so birds compete for many, many things, and that's probably one of the reasons why they don't like each other. Birds also, within the same species, yeah. Birds compete with each other for mates, and just like men and women compete with each other to attract the opposite sex, birds do that as well.
Do you try to compensate for some of these things, the bully birds, the big birds that go push the little birds away? Do you do something in your work that helps the helps equalize that at all?
No, I mean, it's just natural. So there is no point or need to let the birds that get bullied eat better. They just wait till the bully bird stops eating and then go back and eat again. So.
This is an area that I don't know, people don't even think about. I don't think. What have you come up with in the last month, year, decade that was news, scientific news, breakthroughs, something you didn't know? What was the headline from your work?
Sure. So I also study these other very, very social birds called acorn woodpeckers out in California.
Right.
And we did this really cool project it's an ongoing project where we put really small nanotags on the backs of birds so we could track these birds.
Yeah.
And we found that these birds wage really, really long, five multi-day battles to win a territory. So multiple teams of acorn woodpeckers will fight each other until one team beats all other teams. And they can fight for 10, 11 hours every day for multiple days. And that's something that we did not know happened out there. More importantly, not only were there birds fighting, but there were a bunch of birds just watching these fights, which was really surprising because we didn't know that a big fight for a big territory was, interesting, social information for all these other birds in the neighborhood. So that was a big revelation. We used technology to understand behavior, which is new, and it got a lot of press. We were featured in the New York Times for that research.
And when birds fighting, they're pecking at each other? I'm trying to imagine this. Bip, 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 bip.
Yeah, woodpeckers are really vicious. They peck at each other. They hold on to each other's legs, and they fall down, holding each other and fighting.
I had no idea. And so you've got a couple of woodpeckers doing their thing, and then you have other woodpeckers standing around and watching.
Yeah, exactly. It's like the World Wrestling Federation match where, but there are more spectators than fighters. But yeah, it's all there. It's all happening.
That is very odd. You're a self-described bird nerd. Are you a bird nerd?
Yes, I am. Definitely a bird nerd.
We've been talking about birds so much. Do you start? I know this sounds a little nuts. Do the birds talk to you? Do you get something eventually? Do you find that you're communicating with them on some way? When they chirp and they peck and they make all these sounds, you spend a lot of time with these birds. What I'm saying, I'm not communicating well here, but do the birds speak to you?
Yes, they do. I mean, as you observe birds more and more, you tend to understand their behaviors a lot more and understand fine nuances in their behavior. So there are certain behaviors where I know the bird is mad or the bird is looking at another bird and like posturing in a way to like either attract the other bird closer or repel the other bird, you know?
How do you know that a bird is mad?
So a lot of birds will do these. I mean, they're difficult to describe behaviors, but they'll flatten just like a dog or a cat flatten their ears when they're really mad. A lot of birds will actually flatten the feathers on their heads a lot and like bob from one side to the other. They will also call really loudly. It sort of depends on what kind of bird it is. If it's a social bird, then it will call repeatedly to sort of show its emotion. But other birds will do other behaviors. There are also mate solicitation behaviors where we know a male bird might sing a lot, which is trying to attract its mate, or females that will do certain mate soliciting behaviors where they fan out their tails and do these begging-like calls, which generally means that the female has chosen a certain male and wants to be mated with. And so if you observe birds long enough, you sort of start understanding the nuances in their behavior a lot more.
That's a process. It isn't like the one morning you woke up and said, "Ooh, I finally get it," right? You've been observing them for a long time.
Yeah, absolutely. It takes several years. I mean, there's obviously information in books and there are behavioral ecology books that you can read and which actually tell you what the bird is. So often I would observe a behavior and then try and read, find that behavior in the book and be like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. I saw an owl sitting next to that bird. I can see that the bird was pretty mad at the owl being there.
Are birds smart?
Birds are extremely smart. I think they're smarter than we think they are. Like New Caledonian crows are supposed to have the same intelligence as a 5 or 6 year old kid. So, yeah.
Is that right? Wow. Hey, can you hang on just a second? Let me just take a quick break and we'll come right back here. This is Dr. Sahas Barvi from the Smithsonian. And I think it's is it the Natural History Museum?
Yes.
That one. All right. Just hang on just a second, if you would. Let's have a quick message and we'll come back.
I'm the third generation on this family farm out here in western Pennsylvania. This farm's been here since 1949. It's a great lifestyle. It's not one of the rich and the famous, but it's a lifestyle that I wouldn't trade anybody for. Yeah, I voted for Trump in 16, and I'll be the first to tell you I made a mistake. You know, the 40 years that I've been farming here, there's been challenges, but you take these last 3 years with Trump's policies, economically, financially, they've been the toughest I've ever experienced. Trump has failed the American farmer. It's a serious question whether or not there'll be a next generation of family farms. You know, with Joe Biden, I think we got a person that's got some compassion and he's got a real plan to get things going, turned around. You know, I made a mistake in 16. I won't make a mistake in 2020.
I'm Joe Biden, and I approve this message.
There you go. It's 35 after the hour. We're on the phone here on this on a Monday morning to Washington, D.C. with Dr. Sahas Barvi, who is a bird studier and an ornithologist. That is true, right? An ornithologist?
Yes, I am an ornithologist.
Okay. And you got a PhD, and what did you write your master's on? Can I ask that?
Sure. My master's was on differences in bird species richness in teak forests in India. So a lot of your furniture is made of teak wood, and those trees need to be grown in monocultures. And I was looking at when you grow those trees in monocultures, do they support the same bird species richness as a natural forest does?
Can humans learn from birds? These are the worst questions in the world. Doctor, tell me, but you know what I mean. I mean, I go for it. You know where I'm moving with this.
Of course, yeah. I mean, birds are. I think the two things that we can learn is birds are really good planners, and the bird I study, the acorn woodpecker, they store food for the winter, and they're external lard hoarders, which means that they store fat, but they just store fat in the trees in the form of acorns. And so they plan ahead every year and store thousands of acorns because they know they're going to need them in the winter. So they have some foresight, which is not the most common quality in humans, I think. And secondly, I also think that birds live in the moment a lot, probably because they need to be watching over their shoulders to see if a hawk is coming to get them.
Yeah.
But they don't think about the past too much, and they live in the present moment. I try to do that as much as I can.
I want to be a bird some days. I'm not sure what that means, but they live in a world there, and you must be part of that world. So yeah. Do they recognize you at all? I know these are odd questions.
No, Gary, like birds have the ability to recognize humans really well. So some northern mockingbirds, which are probably in your backyard in Chicago, are known to recognize people even if they put on a disguise. So there was a really cool study at the University of Florida where this person went and messed around with its nest.
Uh-huh.
And that individual mockingbird then could identify that person and would go peck that person's head. Even if they were part of a group, they would identify them and single them out, even if they were wearing a disguise, you know, like sunglasses and fake beard. and so crows have the same ability also. So birds can recognize people as probably better than people can recognize individual birds.
This bird came over, and I swear to God, we were having a conversation. And he wasn't far away from me. You know how birds are. They scat. And this bird was within a few feet, and I sort of chatted with him, and I said, "Well, you remember me? You know, I don't know. I think my neighbors probably are ready to have the butterfly net dropped over me, but right now." There's something going on there that's very spiritual. So what's next for you? What's the next thing in your research and life here?
So I'm really I want to take my research at the museum out to the field, and I'm really excited to go and study how birds keep warm in the Himalayas by doing these really cool experiments that I have designed.
Uh-huh.
More importantly, because we know that the climate is warming, whether we believe it or not, and what the causes of the climate warming are, but we know that the climate is warming, and the mountains are warming at a disproportionately fast rate.
Right.
But at the same time, the intensity and frequency of these like really extreme weather events, like snowfalls in the spring or early snowfalls in the fall, are also increasing. And so it's really important to understand, really have a good handle on how birds keep warm in cold conditions to understand how they will respond to climate change. So if you if we want to understand whether you'll have a chickadee in your backyard in the next 50 years, we need to understand how bird thermoregulation works and then match them with climate predictions to see if a chickadee will have the right habitat in your backyard.
The way things are going, we're going to be lucky to have human beings in our backyard in 50 years. What a treat to have you on. And you know what? I'll be talking about the end of the Trump administration on the show today. As soon as we can get done with that, we'll get back to some science. And the people that do what you do, you need a louder voice. So
thank you.
Thank you. I'm gonna play this one more time. Could I? This is the acorn woodpecker.
Mm-hmm.
I'm starting to dream about this. I wake up in the middle of the night, doctors, and I hear. There it is. Bravo. Bravo. You said you're opening at the Pine Tap next week, I think, with a band. Have a great day. We'll talk to you soon, I hope.
Sure, absolutely. Thank you so much, guys, for having me.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. There he goes.
Thank you.
I see right there. I'm wondering if that's a misnomer. These birds, they're struggling. They have bigger birds taking their food away. They have nasty birds making it hard for them to build nests. So to be free as a bird, and they keep chirping through it all. Birds get mad. This is beyond intriguing to me. Hey, big thank you to Dr. Sahas Barvi from the Smithsonian. You know what? We were talking about all these virtual tours and vacations and things that we can take. I'm thinking that as we move into phase two of something here, maybe we'll get into more opportunities to talk to some of the people like that, scientists and folks like that who want to share their work with us. Very very interesting stuff. Absolutely. 13 before the hour on Monday. This is the 19th of October. And how are we going to get through this week? Well, we did it again last week and the week before. 2 weeks from tomorrow is the election. Hope you're going to do what you said you would do. And registration now is ending in many states this week, and early voting is underway, all that stuff. So check your local Secretary of State and get the scoop on that. And then Wednesday, January the 20th, let's see, October, November, December, that's 3 months from tomorrow, is the beginning of the new administration. And I don't know. Maybe I'll share this with you a little bit. We're talking about Mercury retrograde. I want to hammer that. It's an urban legend, and people are either they're into it or they're not into it. But I would say that as I mentioned on the air, this election is going to have that phenomenon on top of it. I think they will tell you, they being astrologers, that we may not know exactly what's cooking on election day. I just read somebody in Erie County, Pennsylvania, saying it's going to take days. And I think no matter what, you don't have to have an astrological thing going on, but I think we will find some delay there. Here on the home front, I've had car trouble for 4 or 5 straight days here. I had my car stopped. I had the AAA people come over. They told me everything was this or that. And then the next day they came over. Then the guy came over and said, you need a battery. And I said, okay, you got a battery? Oh, yeah, we got to put a battery. So we put a battery in. And then the next day the car stopped again. So I go back and back and back. What's all this about? I'll tell you what I think. And this will maybe give you a little bit of a glimmer into how these retrograde things work. I think probably what's going to turn out is that the battery that they sold me, it's probably fine, but that there's something in the electrical system of the car, the generator or the alternator or the exterminator, whatever it is, that was defective, and now we're just seeing that. You with me? When Saturn is retrograde, which happens every once in a while, and that tends to be a time when we're seeing bridges collapse. I know, bridges collapse 24/7, but I was doing some research on that, and it was clear to me that they don't just wake up on a Monday and decide to collapse. They are weak infrastructure, right? So what happens is, I think the easiest way to explain it is that you see some of these things that happen that were wrong before, but you see them now. So back to Mercury retrograde, something like my car, which is a mechanical thing, whatever was wrong with it was wrong before. But now we sort of see the ramifications of that. So does that make any sense to you? I think that one thing that we're working with right now is just trying to make sure that everybody doesn't shake themselves to bits as we launch into the final 2 weeks of the election today. I tell you what I think is going to happen. I do think that we are not going to have all the votes counted, all the stuff figured out on election night. What could that mean? And for leave Mercury retrograde out of it. This is a big deal. This is a big deal. You have mail-in ballots. You have people showing up at polling places. You've got a million opportunities for not necessarily nefarious stuff, as Aaron the News Baron would point out when we talk about politics. But stuff that's no one did it on purpose. Stuff fails, right? Stuff fails. I think you're going to see plenty of that. I think you're going to see plenty of that on election night. And I think that at the end of that, you'll have the fact that generally most of the mail-in balloting, or much of it, done by Democrats, the Republicans tending to show up at the polling place. And in some states, they've kind of made that necessary. Texas is one of those. Anyway, I think that's going to increase the confusion over what is happening that night. What's President Trump going to be doing in all this? I haven't the slightest idea. I got to tell you though, once in a while he'll say something. You know, he'll kind of come out of that, you know, that fog of whatever he lives in, and he'll say something that tips his hand. And I saw over the weekend, I was catching up. And he was talking, this was that period of time when he was talking about, can suburban women vote for me? And he was giving a wink-wink to the radical extreme people, the people that were going to kidnap the governor of Michigan, people like that. But then in that, along those lines, and everybody knows that he's down on the polls. I'm sure that is tormenting him. He said, and I'm almost quoting, he said, well, how would it be if I, he's talking about Biden, how would it be if I lost to the worst candidate in history? You know? He said, I'd have to leave the country. Bing, 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 bing. There he goes now, right now. Yeah, okay. Wait a minute, leave the country? What are you talking about? Well, you know, I think if we piece this all together, I think it's obvious that Trump has something going on with Putin. Is there a sum of money waiting for him? How about an estate that you can retire to? We know that the guy's been broke on paper for years. What's he think? What's Trump thinks? What's he think is going to happen the day after he is out of office on the 20th? I say gets on an airplane with the fam, and when they leave American airspace, that's it. You never see him again. That's my prediction. I think that will happen. We'll also remember that once he ceases to be president of the United States, his legal power is greatly reduced. You've got, I don't know, to name anybody, start rolling off the list here. You got the state of New York that's going to come after him, already is, for tax stuff. You have, you had the attorneys general of like Maryland who were involved in disagreeing that it was okay for him to have the Trump Hotel in Washington, all those things. In other words, he's got a lot of legal entities that are going to pursue him. I don't know. Am I envisioning where Biden takes the oath and at that moment a group of people come out of the back and put Trump in handcuffs and that's it? Probably not. But I don't think that you're going to see him making a victory tour and taking a victory lap after the election. I think he knows he's going to lose. I think that's what I was referring to when he said, well, you know, I'd have to leave the country. You know, the guy's already thinking about how embarrassing that would be. I like the idea of him not even showing up for the inauguration. You want to bet? How much money you got? Let's, all right, one, okay, all right, let's do, all right, let's have one, let's have a radio bet here. I bet Trump doesn't show for the inauguration of, we hope, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. What do you think, huh? All right, okay, put your money where your mouth is. Like he's going to sit there and say, hey, thank you for replacing me in such fashion here. All right, that's what I think is going to happen, more or less. We'll talk more about this. We'll talk more about it this week. We'll talk more about it tomorrow. And we will talk to you. Leave me a voicemail, okay? 844-220-3300, or just attach it to an email at radioanything.com. And we'll hear from you here on the show, which is produced in Chicago by Natasha Rodriguez. Have the best day you can.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them blue for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry. Much more than I ever knew. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself.